both fantasies, which led to irresponsible use of AI tech. And I want to consider that response. I want to think about it because it's not clear to me. I'm not sure that it's right. I'm also, I don't just want to dismiss it, you know, and just say, no, clearly there's nothing to it, because I sort of get it when I hear it. I get what this person I'm imagining, I get what they're getting at. I could certainly, for instance, imagine one of the people who actually felt victimized in this case saying something like that. Were we to propose a kind of a virtue ethics account of them saying, yeah, but wait a minute, you're forgetting about me. This guy did this awful thing to me. I feel terrible about it. And I don't feel like your virtue ethics analysis or account really captures the wrongness of what was done to me. So I'm very interested in that response. And yet I don't really know beyond that just what to make of it.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. But here's what I can say. We've actually come to the end of our time. And here's what I'd like to say to the audience, to the listeners. I mean, if you have a view, I mean, look, this is this. You don't need a degree in philosophy. The guy, he made an AI fake, deep fake porn of his friends. You know, if you're thinking about this and you want to share your thoughts, you can always email me. It's a real easy, robert@kzfr.org. We can talk about some emails we get on the next show.
That'd be awesome. Pass those along if you get some.
See what the listeners think about
the
situation.
And you're right, people don't need a degree in philosophy. But if they feel like they want one, we do sell AI-generated diplomas for $19.95. So people can get in touch with Robert about that.
No, Troy, they're $29.95.
Ah, I forgot. I was giving the sale price. Yeah, right, totally. Man, that inflation's a killer.
Hey, Troy Jalamore, it's been so much fun, such a pleasure. Our debut edition of Philosophers on Culture. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as much as we did. I mean, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, let's do it again.
We're going to do it in 2 weeks, August 3rd, 5 p.m. KZFR 90.1 FM, kzfr.org, wherever you are in the world. Troy Jalamore, thank you so much. It's been great. And looking forward to our next Philosophers on Culture.
Fantastic. Me too. Thank you, Robert.
Hello, this is Ken Logan, Dr. Ken Logan, and you are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And if you have the internet, it's also on kzfr.org. And if you keep listening, you're going to be listening to The Doctor's Inn. And right now, let me have you listen to Loudon Wainwright III, The Doctor.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, sir, we got back the x-ray. Everything's a blur, but it's all positive. That's what every single test shows. I went to the doctor said, kid, it was something that you ate or drank, and something that you did, and it's all in your head, but it's spreading on down to your toes. All right, let's spread it around a little bit now. but it does. Oh, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, please get on down to...
Hello, this is Dr. Kenneth Logan, family practitioner here in Chico, California, and you're listening to The Doctor's Inn for the next hour, actually. You need to know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Speaking of underwriters... The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the listeners, to KZFR, but also by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your events listed, visit friendsoftheart.net. And also supported by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. For more information, you can call 530-898-9525. So thank you to California Arts Council and the Printed Image and you, the listeners. Today's show, The Doctor's Inn, is going to be, I have a guest. And I will introduce that guest in just a second. The show today is going to talk about healthcare professionals, the availability of healthcare professionals in our area of the state, Chico, and our area of the state, and how that is soon to be improving, and a person and an organization who is doing just that, bringing physicians to this area of the state. And that person is going to tell us about how she does that, how she's doing this. And the guest today is Christy Bird McKeeve. Christy Bird McKeeve. She is executive director of an organization called Butte Glen Medical Society, which I'll tell you about in a minute, or one of us will, and another organization called North Valley Medical Association, which we'll tell you what that is, too. She also is the CEO, or chief executive officer, of a foundation called Healthy Rural California. And that's actually the meat of what we're going to be talking about today, what she's doing with that organization. Christy Bird McKeeve, hello.
Hello.
Hang on just a sec. I've got to turn on your mic. Hello.
Well, hello.
Very good. Thank you for being on the air with us, KZFR, today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So... what I'd like to know as a physician here, and what I'd like the listeners, the public here in our area to know, is a little bit more about you, who you are, and then I'd like you to build for us so we'll understand what you're doing for us in the area relative to the availability of healthcare professionals. Who are you?
I like to make things and create things. So
do that one more time. You live here in Chico, California?
No, I live in Sacramento.
Oh, you live in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I come to Chico 2 to 3 times a week.
Gotcha. And your family is in Sacramento, and you come here 2 to 3 times per week?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're a, you said you're a mother, a wife. What else did you say? I had your mic turned off.
Oh,
now I
got
it turned on.
Okay. Yeah, I like to create things. I sew, I paint, I like to make arts and crafts, I guess. Yeah.
Gotcha. Great. That's excellent. So tell us a bit more about your, let's start with your position, Executive Director of Butte Glen Medical Society and Executive Director of North Valley Medical Association. What are those organizations?
Sure thing. Medical societies and associations around the state have been in this area since the late 1800s. Those in Chico may know of the Stansbury Home, which is near Chico State. And that was with Dr. Oscar Stansbury, built in 1870. So I love the history of it all. Those two medical societies really are for physicians and led by physicians. I joined in January of 2019. Actually, there's a third medical society as well. It's called the Lost Sierra Medical Society, representing the four counties of Lassen, Modoc, Plumas, and Sierra.
Great. And so
10 counties total.
10 counties total that you are executive director for their societies.
Mm-hmm.
So medical societies that you're talking about and medical associations are physicians in an area of the state.
Right. A certain county.
Certain county or counties. Yeah. And they come together with what kind of organization is a medical association?
It's a 501c3.
Excuse me, hang on. As, let's take Butte Glen Medical Society, the one in our, what counties, first of all?
That is Butte and Glen, but now has adopted the Lost Sierra Medical Society sort of reporting. There's only three members in the Lost Sierra Medical Society, and so that's not enough to have a separate board. And so we'll have them with the Butte Glen Medical Society.
Great, and tell us where the Lost Sierra is, what
that's
counties?
That's the Plumas, Modoc, Lassen, and Sierra.
Okay. So medical societies like the Butte Glen Medical Society and the Lost Sierra Medical Society, physicians that belong to that, I just want the listeners to know that's not a working office of doctors. In other words, it's not an association where we're all working together. It's we're all in our own private or other practices, and we are joined together in a, it's kind of like a, I don't know, this, I would say the word club sometimes, but it's kind of where we have associations with each other, but we don't work together. We don't work for the same organizations, etc. This is not a working
right. Don't come
thing.
To our office for care.
Right, but I think of the medical associations like Butte Glen Medical Society in our Butte and Glen County area as kind of a local chapter of the California Medical Association.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yeah, we have shared governance, which means that our elected board members can be delegates, and then the delegates form the California Medical Association's sort of policy-making body. We do advocacy at the state capitol, making sure that the physicians' voices are heard.
So there you go. That's what the California Medical Association, and then how Butte Glen Medical Society, and with Christy Bird McKeeve's guidance helps interact with the legislators relative to issues that affect healthcare in our areas of the state from largely from a physician standpoint. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right. And then you also are, you are chief executive officer or CEO of the Healthy Rural Foundation called Healthy Rural California. What the heck is that?
So in 2019, the Butte Glen Medical Society Board needed to have a foundation. A lot of the medical societies do. And so it's a 501c3 and is
which means it's a nonprofit.
Right. And it's eligible for grant funding, donations that are tax deductible to the donor. The 501c3 gives a lot more flexibility than what a medical society would be able to do. And so the board came together and said, we need a foundation. We called it Healthy Rural California. We got IRS approval in January 2020. Primarily, we were focused on maybe it would be another part-time job and get maybe $100,000, $200,000 to do the public health work that medical societies typically do. So I just thought it would be these two small part-time jobs, and it has grown.
It has grown. So the Healthy Rural California Foundation is out of Butte Glen Medical Society, which and Butte Glen Medical Society is the physician grouping society organization subcategory of the California Medical Association, in effect, for Butte and Glen counties. So this foundation out of that organization is called Healthy Rural California. And and Chris, can I call you Christine?
Yes, please do.
Okay, thank you. And Chris, when you became the CEO of that organization, were you the CEO at the very beginning of that organization?
I'm the
founding CEO. 2000, founding CEO. Mm-hmm. And was that 2019, did you say?
Right, and then early 2020.
In early 2020.
It takes a good 3 to 6 months to get established.
Up and running.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And the federal government.
Gotcha. And why, and what is it, why did you and others form the Healthy Rural California? What is it?
Sure.
Why is it here?
Well,
what are you doing?
A lot of it, too, was to expand. So medical societies are physicians leading physicians for physicians. And a lot of healthcare is broader than that. And so that's why we have a broad name for Healthy Rural California. Our focus is all of the healthcare workforce, education to, you know, pathways into the different healthcare workforce positions, and also to support public health in general. So, you know, that's what we founded with. But also in 2019, Butte Glen Medical Society met with Assemblyman Gallagher. It's what we normally do. We call them in districts in July, usually. We have one coming up August 3rd. And we were talking about the campfire and had tallied a good 40 to 60 physicians had left because of the fire.
Oh, wow.
And hundreds of healthcare workers had left as well.
Wow.
And so we said the only thing we know is that we should have residency programs here, and I know you'll explain what that means. We don't have residency programs, so we are likely not recruiting the doctors to the area through that pathway. And so he said, why don't you set up a residency task force to explore how to establish residency programs? And so we did.
Great. And a residency program that Christy has talked about, what's his residency mean? So the problem that Christy was talking about after the campfire was, like she said, the loss.
A massive loss.
40 physicians left our area after the campfire, and 100 or so other healthcare workers. Is that correct?
Hundreds.
400 to 500. Wow. Mm-hmm. Nurses and other healthcare workers left the area. So here we are left with a deficit.
An even worse situation than before the fire.
And before the fire, just as a family physician in this town for many years, there weren't enough of us around before the fire.
Right.
The campfire.
Right.
So the exodus after the campfire, that left us in a bigger hole. And so you... And with, I don't know who else, put together this foundation, Healthy Rural California, to, in effect, to tackle that problem.
Yes.
To bring, in one way or another, and we'll zero in on the one way, but one way or another, physicians and maybe other healthcare providers, I'm going to say that because I've already, I know full well that's the case from one of the students that's, two of the students that are following me from your organization.
Excellent.
shadowing me. But anyway, you put together to bring physicians into this area. The training programs is what a residency is that Christy's talking about. We, in Chico area, in this part of Northern California, in our area of Northern California, there were no training programs for physicians. In other words, in order to get trained as a physician, you had to be outside our area. There's no medical school here.
Yeah.
Christy will talk about that in a minute. There's no medical school here, obviously. There's no residency training programs such as in family practice or psychiatry or internal medicine or OBGYN or anything to train physicians here in Chico area. And part of the problem with that, or part of the consequences of that situation anywhere in the state, is that physicians don't flock here. They don't come here readily. One of the thoughts, one outcome of having a residency training program in your town is that it tends to draw physicians into your town, not only for training, but to set up practice. Christy told me that. That's how I know that. And she'll probably talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted you all to know that part of this issue that she's talking about bringing a residency, and this, we're going to talk a little bit more in a minute about, that's no small step, bringing a residency program, training program for physicians into a town that doesn't have a university in it, doesn't have a medical university in it, like right. Chico, is no small job. It's the opposite of that. It's a major job. Mm-hmm. And she has done it, and she's going to tell us more about it. But anyway, what I wanted to define distinctly is that starting a residency training program for physicians, any kind of physician, into this town, one goal is to have doctors come here to practice, not only just to train, but then to practice and bring doctors into your area.
The data point is that 50% of residents will stay in the area where they complete their residency because they're at that point in their lives. They may have a family that's starting. They may be choosing the residency to be near family, or that's the area of the world that they want to be in. And so without that residency program here of any kind, we've had generations of doctors who had to leave the area and most likely not come back to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the exception, I understand, Dr. Logan.
So she says the residency training program, physician residency training program, say, let's say in Sacramento, well, 50% of those doctors that train in Sacramento are going to stay in Sacramento to practice. So having a residency training program here, hopefully we'll keep some of those docs. And yes, I am a Chico native. And yes, I did have to leave the town in order to train.
Thank you for coming back.
In my case, I'm one of those who came back. But 50% of those people who aren't in the town or stay in the town where they trained, I didn't. I came home. But
the other part of that, though, is that youth from the area, you know, a lot of folks don't want to go too far from home. And so the message would be, well, you know, being a doctor means it's too long of a journey. It's too hard. You'd have to leave. So by having medical education pathways here, it will help inspire the youth to pursue medicine as well.
Oh, so it's youth got from some, that area. Oh,
yeah. It's kind of a two-part to it all.
And do you mind if we... I want to, of course, we haven't heard about the what it's taken to get the residency programs here and all that and what residency programs they are, so we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
But you just said the youth of the area. It made me think of another thing that you are doing in our area of the state, and that is do we call it a little scholarship program or
we're giving stipends. It's called the Healthcare Pathways Program, and we have 11 students right now. Some are pursuing nursing, some are pursuing medicine. They're from Shasta, Glen, Butte, and Tehama counties, and giving a pretty good stipend, $4,250.
And here's the important thing about that, what you just said, and students, so giving them encouraging them to pursue or look into or experience some medical or healthcare field work, or by shadowing physicians and nurses and other healthcare people. These are students who are just graduated from high school. They're, I think one of them still a senior, but the bulk of them have graduated from high school. So get that. So this is giving these just graduated high school students a taste of medical experience or medical picture by shadowing, again, healthcare professionals in Chico and the surrounding areas. And these students are from Chico, Corning, Redding, etc. And like Christy said, some of them are thinking about becoming a physician. Some of them are thinking about becoming a nurse. I have one who shadows me from your organization that's thinking to become an ultrasound technologist.
Oh, perfect.
Technician.
Yeah.
I mean, and the idea here is that they will then hopefully come back to their hometown. These people will hopefully, I think, come home to practice if they get a taste of it in our area before they leave to school, in their case.
It's an 8-week internship with multiple different, perspectives and also tons of resources to help them. There's a lot that you have to know, like you have to dress professionally or you have to sort of know the terminology in healthcare. And so we have a 8-week internship that we've developed, curriculum. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's an introduction for them. It's a very cool thing. I've never heard of anything like it.
Another thing that's coming from that is a virtual med ed club for the region. Through these students, we met a teacher in, it's Glenn County, but I think it's Orland. This teacher is just so passionate about helping students into medicine that we're going to create a med ed club is what we're calling it, and it'll be open for high school students anywhere in the region. We're still planning it, so I don't have the full details.
Kind of a supportive club for high school or high schoolish age students to learn about healthcare professions for themselves, for their goals.
Right. Anatomy, and what is that? And, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. I work with a pre-med college student from Butte College.
Awesome.
The community college. He started a little club like that at Butte College.
Excellent.
A handful of years ago. For students who are wondering what they want to do with their life.
We want to meet him.
Yeah, I'll tell you more
about him.
He's applying to medical school right now. I've been in contact with him, so I'll tell you more about it after the show.
Thanks.
Residency training programs. Again, residents are students who have physicians who go through either medical school or doctor of osteopathy school. So they become an MD or a DO with 4 years of school. And this is 4 years of postgraduate. They do undergraduate work. Like, here's a for instance, me. I went to Chico State, got my degree, my bachelor's degree in biology. Then I did 4 years of medical school down in L.A. So after 4 years of medical school, I obtained my degree, my medical degree. I became an MD. But I wasn't able to go out and practice medicine until I had gone through a postgraduate training program. So I had my MD, but I couldn't practice until I did at least 1 year in what some people call the first year of a residency training program. They call it an internship. But now we're calling it the first year of a 3 or 4 year or more residency program. So the point I'm making is that residents already have their degree, either MD or DO, but they're not ready to practice medicine yet until they go through additional training, and that's called a residency.
And then there's a fellowship. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, additional training after that if you want to zero in on something else. Fellowship's what she's talking about. So in my case, for instance, my residency was 3 years. First year was an internship, where I worked in a hospital mainly down in L.A. And then the last 2 years were family practice residency. And then when I finished that, I was out into the world working as a family doctor. So residency programs is what Christy's talking about bringing. She has begun bringing into our town.
Yes.
Tell us, What is that?
So back in 2019, we started the residency task force, and in walked this tiny elderly man who had been the chief medical officer, the medical director at Butte County Behavioral Health. His name was Dr. Gerald McGuire, and he was the head of Behavioral Health Butte County for 40 plus years. And he just passionately said, we need a psychiatry residency. And that really resonated. We talked to a lot of people. We did a lot of community awareness building. We actually got it into the health needs assessment and then the community health improvement plan for Butte County because at that same time, the health needs assessment said mental health was the number one problem, as well as access to care, number two, close behind, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. McGuire made a very passionate plea, and we all chose psychiatry as the first residency to pursue. And in 2020, as Healthy Rural California was being established, we hired a consultant who really worked with us to see what was feasible for psychiatry. And this person recommended, her name is Kiki. She said, you need to do a consortium model. And so even though we're not a clinic or a medical school or a hospital, we can have those partners. And so the psychiatry residency got built, and I'm happy to say we got accredited in February 2023. It's a very long journey. It takes over $1 million to get through all of it because you have to have certain staff. You have to have a program director. You have to have possibly an associate program director, depending on how much time they can commit to leading away from their clinical practice. And as there's no surprise to anybody listening to the Doctor Is Not In show here today, is
did
that
you hear what Chrissy just said?
I slipped it in.
Anybody who hasn't listened to the show before, the name of the show is The Doctor's In, you know, because I'm a doctor and I'm talking to you. But Christy says, oh, the problem with our area of the state is the doctor's not in. In other words, we don't have enough doctors. So I thought that was a cute statement. The doctor's not in. So,
right, okay, so we didn't have enough psychiatrists who are board certified mm-hmm. to teach our future residents.
Yeah.
And so the first is a 4-year curriculum, actually. Psychiatry is 4 more residency years.
Wow.
And so the first year is going to be with the VA in Sacramento at Mather Field because they have a lot of the resources that are required to teach the residents, and they have education in their mission. So it's a really good partnership.
So that's I'll just reiterate. So this residency training program, so the students have finished their medical school or DO school, and they enter into this residency training program for 4 years before they get out and practice as a psychiatrist. And the first year of that 4 years is down at the
VA.
Veterans Administration, mm-hmm. the VA clinic in
Mather, which is Sacramento.
Sacramento. And then the last...
And UC Davis.
And UC Davis. Yeah. And then the last 3 years, the final 3 years, it will be in Chico. Is that...
Year two is in Yuba City at the Sutter... Yuba Sutter Behavioral Health.
Oh.
Because they have a child and adolescent outpatient clinic, which is required in the curriculum. And there is not one here in Chico.
Oh, bummer.
Now... Two new child and adolescent psychiatrists have come to Chico in the last year. So that's promising.
For future.
And just so everybody knows, the curriculum can move and change.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if a hospital added on something or, you know, it's Ampla Health has actually hired a child and adolescent psychiatrist in Chico. So we can shift where the residents will be rotating over mm-hmm. time, but mm-hmm. the first cohort doesn't start until next summer, so we're still
summer
in between.
Summer of 2024
yeah.
is when they start, the
yeah.
students, the residents start. Okay, mm-hmm. cool.
So we're in wow. the process now of recruiting that first cohort. We expect about 600 applications,
and we
have to whittle that down to 4.
Medical students who are graduating to enter into the residency program, mm-hmm. we have to whittle it down to how many?
4.
4. Residents. We start with 4 residents.
Okay. It's going to be a lot of work.
Wow, and there will be maybe 600 applicants, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm glad
if we had 400, it would be a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad that's not my job. I feel sorry for you and those who have to do that.
That's okay. We're excited.
Whittling. Yeah, very good. Very good. So, wow, the amount of money that and time and effort and hoops to jump through to create a residency program That just blows my mind. And that $1 million thing you said there a minute ago relative to all the various costs relative to that. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's actually about $1.5 million in this particular instance. We have a grant through Butte County Behavioral Health and HCI, the State Department. It goes to the county and then will flow to us. And so it's pretty much going to be about $1.5 million. But here's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
When the residents start and the revenue starts coming to us from teaching health center funding from the federal government, we will be about a $5 million a year new industry for Chico Butte County. And I don't know, when was the last time you had a new industry bringing new jobs and that level of money, economic development to
Chico? I can't think
Chico.
Of what it was, what it would have been.
Somebody mentioned build.com, but I don't know. But it's been a while.
So that's bringing dollars into this community.
Yeah. Now, that's also family medicine, which we haven't touched on yet, but those two residencies alone will be about $5 to $6 million a year.
That kind of money into the area. Okay, great. Yep. So you just described the, thank goodness, the psychiatry residency that will begin the summer of 2024 here. You've put it all together. And then you just said the word family practice residency. What's up with that?
Well, back in 2019, that was our second step. And we got accredited for psychiatry. We got grant monies for family medicine, and we just submitted last week the application for accreditation, and we hope to hear about it. Well, there's several more steps, but hopefully like March 2024 we will be able to start recruiting for the first group that would start in 2025. Family medicine, 3 years. Mostly with Enloe Medical Center as the primary hospital, and then they have to do a continuity clinic, which means that they need to see patients throughout the 3 years of their curriculum. And so we're going to do a 2x2, which means 2 residents will go through Enloe's primary care clinic, and then 2 will go through Northern Valley Indian Health. It's really, and our residents and students are so excited about that.
And that will be at 4 students per year?
Yes.
So 4 per year.
Right, so psychiatry will be 16 total. Family medicine, 12, and so that totals 28. And we're looking at additional residency programs with Enloe Medical Center, doing some more feasibility studies this summer. So possibly adding internal medicine and surgery. And
Residency programs. Internal medicine and surgery in the future, potentially.
Right. So by 2030, there could be 52 residents.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be about $8 or $9 million a year in revenue, new mm-hmm. revenue. So it's a big lift, but it's not overwhelming if you break it down that, you know, there's 52 residents in 4 different programs spread out each year. So they're not all in 1 year. And then they're going to be in different locations, different rotations. And it actually gets spread out pretty well. So it doesn't feel overwhelming to those who are the faculty teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate, the entities in Chico area that are participating and will be partnering with this training, you mentioned Enloe Medical mm-hmm. Center. You mentioned Yuba City...
Behavioral Health.
Behavioral Health. And is that a county behavioral health?
Mm-hmm.
Behavioral Health on there. And then... Northern Valley Indian Health, that's a Chico clinic, which is a good clinic.
They actually have several locations. Interestingly enough, psychiatry residents will do 1 month at Northern Valley Indian Health in Woodland.
Woodland.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
And then you said Ampla Health. Ampla Health will be participating?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And how will they participate again?
They will be... a clinic for year 2 in Yuba City, but I have a hunch we'll be moving into Chico pretty quickly. Their behavioral health resources were greater in Yuba City, but they're shifting more into Chico.
So that'll be for the psychiatry again.
And of course, Butte County Behavioral Health is our key partner. And then Therapeutic Solutions for Psychiatry.
Which is a Chico organization, organization,
mental health. And they have transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS. Pretty cool stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of community organizations, entities participating and working together with you and Healthy Rural California, don't you think? Don't you think that's amazing?
Yeah, but they're all needing to recruit doctors.
Oh, it's a win-win. Yeah,
it's win-win for everybody.
It's a win-win for them and for the community, obviously, mm-hmm. our community.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I was talking to the Chico Rotary Noon thing on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Great group. Oh, my gosh. The community, outpouring has been food for my soul.
Great.
And somebody asked, well, how many doctors do you think will stay? And I was like, if one psychiatrist stays each year, that would be a game changer.
Yeah.
Or one family medicine doc stays or goes to Quincy or MODOC or, wherever. It will be a game changer.
Yeah, and then just the psychiatry residents in their training programs are seeing more patients too. More people will be able to be seen through the residents as well.
Absolutely.
And then additionally, some of those after they finish. Well, those psychiatrists may stay, like you said, and which would be a game changer. And as a family physician in Chico, there are other specialties as well that we don't have enough of. Well, in our town, and psychiatry is one of them, of course.
Psychiatry is one of them, and we're going to have an emphasis on trauma-informed care.
What?
And this morning,
say what?
Trauma-informed care.
What is that?
It's the understanding that if somebody's had a traumatic experience, which pretty much everybody has due to at least the one campfire, there's multiple, but it's also the ACE scores, the adverse childhood experiences are very high in Butte County and historically have been, so generations.
What does that mean?
What
you talking about?
So there's a checklist, basically. If a child has gone through a divorce, their parent has gone to war, there's numerous things that would all add up. And if there's a 4, that's the highest score and indicates a lot of trauma in that child's life. But then usually those things are not treated and they grow up to be adults and they have children and it sort of actually goes generation to generation.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, when we're using the word trauma there, we're not talking about physical trauma necessarily. We're talking about emotional and psychiatric trauma.
Yes.
Wow. Bummer.
Well, we were just meeting with Northern Valley Indian Health this morning and they were describing the, I wrote down the phrasing of the, but it was more like trauma within trauma that, the Native American population has been on almost at the most adverse historically. And so we're excited to partner with them. We're exploring some more ideas about what more we can do.
Yeah, great. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Working together with them. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're an excellent clinic. They have a lot to offer. Both tribal tribal patients and the general public when they are able to take on general public clients.
Oh, I thought they usually were open to take on.
Well,
the
it depends on how full they are as a clinic. I mean, they
give priority to their
tribal members, exactly, depending on which clinic you're talking about. But yeah, there's a waiting list actually because they're so busy for people who aren't tribal. But hey, they're an excellent. I just had a patient yesterday who's been on the waiting list for a year.
Oh, goodness.
But she ain't giving up. And I said, because she want, I, you know, it's, anyway.
Yeah.
I was gonna go off on how wonderful Northern Valley Indian Health is and as a clinic. And they are. I'm glad they're here and I'm glad they're part of this. And it's, again, it's a win-win for all of us.
Right.
For all of us working together.
They need to recruit more doctors so that they can see more patients. We're partnering with them for that.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's very good. Healthy Rural California. Working on bringing residencies, psychiatry, starting of summer of 2024. Family practice. By the way, I didn't specifically nail down with you, the family practice residency has it been finalized? It's going to begin.
No, we won't know until early 2024 if we're accredited. And once we get accredited, then we can begin it.
All right. So
I think it's a pretty strong application, though.
So, okay, gotcha. Yeah. So it's likely to be accredited and that be early 2024 when that accreditation would start. And then, let's say that happens, then the first residents would begin in 2025?
Yes.
All right, great. Excellent. Bringing residency training, physician training into our area for psychiatry, and then soon family practice. And then, Christy said, she and others have their sights on creating similar residency training programs on internal medicine.
Maybe.
General surgery, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And others, maybe.
Right. Our consultants that we were catching up with yesterday were talking about, well, a lot of physicians then turn to a specialty as their next step. So it's another year of rheumatology another year of addiction medicine or fellowships and things like that. And so they were highly recommending that we look at that. Again, our goal is to keep those physicians in the area, and if they need to go do a subspecialty, they would have to leave. So why not consider creating more? But I don't know about the funding on that one. I still have to do a lot of research.
So what she's talking about is after somebody finishes a residency, they would go on to internal medicine. Might they want to go on to a subspecialty in rheumatology? And so she's saying, hey, what about those kind of fellowship training programs to also be additionally here in our area? So that she's saying they have to look into that.
Right.
Wow.
Cardiology, you know.
Hey, and aren't there so we've talked about, yes, these will bring medical students, graduates from medical school and DO schools into training programs, psychiatry, family practice, et cetera, here. And then also, didn't I see that there are some medical students that are coming who are still in medical school, but are going to rotate through here, or what's up with that?
Right.
How does that fit in?
Well, we started down this path as soon as we got accredited for psychiatry. One of the best ways to recruit medical students into your residency program is to do rotations. And so we started taking...
And rotations, that means students who are in medical school or DO school, while they're still in school, they could rotate, do a clinical rotation, let's call it, kind of like a clinical class thing in a community. That's what she's talking about. Right. And so say that again.
Right. So we currently have Kruti. She is from Kansas City University, KCU.
Oh my gosh.
And she is interested in psychiatry.
Oh.
She has connections to Northern California. She was super excited to meet us. And she was just rotating a little bit with the care response team, which does youth suicide prevention work with Dan L. Campbell. And others, right? So the psychiatry faculty who will be teaching the residents of the future will also be teaching, precepting for these medical students. And they're usually in year 3 or 4. They have to do clinical rotations to complete their degree, but they also have to figure out where they want to go do their residency and what they want to specialize in. So we are now back-to-back. We have started receiving applications from around the country. In August, we have somebody coming from New York. Prior to Kruti, we had somebody from Las Vegas.
You're talking about psychiatry residency applicants?
We'll start the family medicine medical student rotations in January when we have the bandwidth.
Oh, really?
But wait, there's more. Toro University and UC Davis are interested in regional campuses starting in 2025. And what that means is that for an entire 12 months, about 10, 20 medical students will be in Chico. And then usually the residents teach a lot. And so we'll have residents coming on board. But those medical students would live for a year in Chico and do 6 rotations that are required for their degree to be completed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So you say that they're thinking about that, UC Davis and Toro separately?
We've sort of verbally committed to that. So we're trying to get some grant funding, hiring a sort of dean position to really spearhead that. because right after that is the development of a medical school in Chico.
Wow.
So that's, it's interesting because you think of education as you're starting with, you know, pre-med at Chico State, and then that would grow into a medical school, and then that would go into graduate medical education. But in a lot of these communities like ours, you start with the graduate medical education, the residency programs, and then you start bringing the students in, and then there's enough to actually have either a branch campus or a full independent school. And we have interest in that as well, a tribal medical school.
Oh, whoa. Down the line. So we'll Toro see. University is where?
Vallejo, but they're actually international. They're the most global medical school. They're osteopathic.
Uh-huh. And which means DO, doctors of osteopathy, which function exactly like MDs, medical doctors, to you listeners, so you know that. They functionally do the same thing we do. MDs, DOs essentially do the same work. They're different schools, but they're essentially the same. Basically, for all practical purposes, they're the same training and same designated work once they graduate.
And in recent years, both became part of ACGME, which accredits all the residency programs. So it doesn't matter to us if they come from MD or DO into our residency programs.
Great.
Because
great.
It's now part of that one big umbrella.
Great. And doctors in staff, in practice in Chico or anywhere else, and it's on staff at Inlo Hospital, for instance, are MDs or DOs. It's there. We do the same thing.
Wow. And residents. So if I'm a patient in the area and I'm kind of like, well, I don't want to see a resident, they sound like a student, they're actually beyond student and are doctors. They just have to do some more training, basically. Anyway, don't be afraid to see a resident is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, residents are doctors. They literally are doctors. They've already graduated and they have their doctorate in medicine. And they've done their first year training elsewhere before they get to Chico. In this case, they'll be doing their internship. Their first year residency will be in...
For psychiatry, will be in Sacramento.
Will be in Sacramento, yeah.
But family medicine will all be here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, internship will be here in family medicine. Yeah. Oh, great. Wow.
Yep.
Ooh. Cool. Wow. Let's see. What else? What else? Nursing staff, are you getting involved with recruiting nurses or other paraprofessionals?
We could. We're actually talking, I think, tomorrow about physical therapy.
Oh.
Lee, I'm forgetting his last name, but he approached us and said he's really interested in getting a grant that would help establish a physical therapy. Sort of training program as well.
Interesting.
But I've been talking to the School of Nursing at Chico State because their ability to expand the number of BSN enrollments is hampered by the fact that there's not enough faculty.
Oh.
So I have like a faculty first sort of campaign brewing in my mind, which would raise money to then help support those who go into teaching nursing because they have to take a pretty steep cut in pay to leave clinical practice or then to go get their DNP or PhD. They do teaching. Offer an MSN at Chico State, but it's got too few enrollments, so we want to encourage people to get their MSN. That would enable them to teach at a community college. And I do want to say, I have a phrase that I'm really wanting to explain, is that we want to focus on bachelor's and beyond. So the community colleges are very important, and they get people stepping into these different healthcare workforce positions. But without a bachelor's or a master's degree or more for nursing and medicine, you're not going to have full nurses, doctors. So my little catchphrase is bachelor's degree and beyond, because that's really going to help drive those the healthcare workforce.
Right.
And the community colleges have it covered. I mean, they can do more, but they're really a well-oiled machine, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we don't have any medical education, and there's a need to expand the nursing, the higher levels of nursing education.
Need to get it oiled,
right?
Need to get that machine oiled,
and it sounds
like you are oiling that machine. You are creating the machine, and you are oiling it.
Yeah.
Oh, Christy, Christy Bird McKeeve.
Uh-oh. We just got dinged.
Oops. I don't know what that was, but... Executive Director of Butte Glen Medical Society and Executive Director of North Valley Medical Association up further northern California, Redding area, and Chief Executive Officer, that is CEO of Healthy Rural California. Thank you for being a guest today on the Doctor's
Inn. You're welcome.
And thank you for telling us that detailed, amazing story of the work you are doing. And you are a key person, obviously, in this whole healthcare future of this area.
Well, thank you.
I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing, and I and the community are thanking you very much right now.
Thank you. We have a great team growing. We have about 7 full-time staff members now, and some really wonderful doctors who are leading. So I'm lucky.
Excellent. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Now, let me tell you this. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, KZFR supporters, and by D.A. Lampe Construction. They are a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit D.A. Lampe. That's D, the letter D, the letter A, and then L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico, serving Chico and the North State since 1975. Thank you to Christy Bird McKeeve, and thank you to Mark Baker. And, I got to give you a little disclaimer, and I got to get this computer back up, too. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Okay, hang on just a minute. I gotta play with this thing we call a computer. I call it other names, too. I don't just call it a computer. There we go. All right. We're going to listen to a little Dr. Wu, I think.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Son, you look older than me." Katie tried, I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piastre I could borrow.
Mars is no longer a watery world. So how did all of those gullies form? We're digging into the mystery this week